from tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday morning, July the 12th, 1998. Final service of the July week family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Chuck Worth of Bella Vista, Arkansas, is the speaker of the morning.
We're talking. Last time I was here, I mentioned a book called The Types, Interpreting the Types, Symbols and Types, Types and Shadows. And this is theirs. They have it on the back table for sale. I normally only recommend one book, and that's the Bible. But this is just a help. And you can look in this, and this is by Kevin Connor from New Zealand. And he's an excellent writer, and it'll just give you a word like asp, and it'll tell you what that word means, and it'll give you many scriptures in the Bible to go and find it. And for those of you that study, this is an excellent, excellent book.
Yes.
And the last time I mentioned it, they sold out quickly. So I ask you all to forgive me. I'm learning that you don't tell people what you're going to teach until you really, really settle it with the Holy Ghost. I really wanted to teach on the corn, the wine, and the oil, because that's really kind of in me, but I'm not going to, okay? I'd like to have you turn your Bibles, and I know that the Beatitudes was partly taught previously, and so I guess that's why my flesh really wanted to stay away from it, but God kept bringing me back to it. Turn with me to Matthew 5. And I don't know what you know about them. I'm just going to tell you that the first part is the intaking of the nature of Jesus Christ. The next part is giving out the nature of Christ. And the last part is the war that goes on because of what you took in and what you're giving out between heaven and earth within you. Okay? And so with that premises, we'll just kind of start. Father, I just thank you for your word. Father, I thank you for the Holy Spirit that you've sent into us, into the earth, in us. And Father, you said it's expedient that I go. And then you said, I will come to you. And Father, you've come in the form of your Spirit so you can be with each one of us personally and abundantly. And Father, I just ask now by your Spirit, because Father, you are an anointed word giver, that you speak this word through my mouth by your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. I told my wife, I come out with a yellow tab, and I said, goodness, I feel like Tommy Cook. And he comes out and teaches so much and goes so fast that I can't hold it all. So I'm going to go slow, okay? Matthew chapter 5, and I'm going to start with verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. It's always good to go up into the mountain. The mountain is the hill of the Lord. And if you want to see Jesus, you got to get to the top of the mountain, because that's where he resides. Now, he's down at the foot of the mountain also, but his house, his dwelling place, is at the top of the mountain. And there are a lot of things between the foot of the mountain and the top of the mountain. And if you're like me, many times I go part way up the mountain and then I start going around the mountain instead of going up the mountain. And it just takes a lot longer to get to the top of the mountain if you keep going around the mountain. Now, halfway up the mountain, on the side of the mountain, is a city called Jerusalem. And a lot of people get to Jerusalem and stop. And Jerusalem really speaks of the church, but it more speaks of the Holy Ghost and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or the Feast of Pentecost. Three major feasts that you and I are still eating, but we're eating them spiritually. They're not natural anymore, right? Okay? We eat the first feast at the bottom of the mountain. It's called Passover. It's what starts you on the journey up the mountain. Jesus is the Passover lamb. The Feast of Pentecost is halfway up the mountain. And as in the Song of Solomon, the Shulamite went in, he took her into the banqueting house. And then right after that, you find out, I was in my bed, and I didn't want to get out. And a lot of us get into the Feast of Pentecost and don't want to leave because it's comfortable. God's there. It's joyous time. Wine there. Okay? And the reason we don't want to leave Pentecost is right outside of Pentecost, to get to the top of the mountain is the wilderness. And that's where God wants to take you. Okay? You know, Jesus went into the wilderness. You think you won't go? He went up into a mountain, and when he was set, let me see if I can find notes here. Well, let me back up a little bit. What Jesus is teaching here is he's teaching the laws of the kingdom. The Beatitude are the laws of the kingdom, okay? It's the New Testament equivalent of the Ten Commandments. Really, the Ten Commandments are the law of sin and death. The Beatitudes are the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And they have made you free from the law of sin and death, right? Okay. Now, he's teaching this to the citizens of his kingdom on how to live by his power that is in you. How does he get his power in you? You'll have as much power in you as you have word in you. Okay? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto complete deliverance. Or the Bible says salvation. Now, as much of the word, let me know there are a lot of people that have a lot of word in them. And then you look at their life and the power of God is not there. In fact, there's sin in their life. The Word will only work to the extent that you allow it to work within you, which is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God will work in your life in those areas that you submit to the King. If there's part of the areas of your life you won't submit to the King, the power of God will not be in your life. Okay? That's not too hard to understand, right? Okay, the Beatitudes are the blessedness of the nature of Christ within you. It has to do with your attitude. What's your attitude? And as we get into them, we'll see how your attitude compares to the attitude God wants you to have. For instance, blessed are the poor in spirit. Well, I don't want to be poor. Well, you need to understand, okay? Are you poor in spirit? If you are, then the kingdom of God in that area will work in your life. And salvation is progressive. If you're not poor in spirit, the rest of the Beatitudes will not work in your life. You have to start with the first one, and we're going to go through it, okay? This is the blessed qualities that must be in the character of the citizens of God's kingdom, okay? Until the inward working, their inward working is in us, they cannot manifest themselves outwardly to the world. I mean, that's the whole purpose of having them in you. John 17:17, where Jesus is praying to the Father about you and I. He says, Father, the glory that you have given me, I have given them, that, Father, they may be one in us. And then it says, why? That the world may see and believe that I truly was sent of you. The world is going to believe in Jesus Christ and that he truly was sent of God when they see it in his people. Outward display of the kingdom of God in you and I. Okay? That was John 17, about 17. Okay? Now, I just want to do some comparison of the law and of the Beatitudes. The Old Testament was Mount Zion. It was the law. The new Mount Sinai. The law. In the New Testament, it's Mount Zion. That's where he gave the Beatitudes. Okay? In the Old Testament, it was the tables of stone. In the New Testament, it's the tables, the fleshy tables of what? Our heart. The Old Testament was external. It was of the flesh. The New Testament, it's the internal, the spirit within us. The Old Testament is what we do. In the New Testament, it's what we are. What are you in Christ? Okay? In the Old Testament, it was condemnation of the act. Listen to this. In the New Testament, it's condemnation of the thought. Okay? What are you thinking? Why? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I don't care what your flesh is. Well, I do care. But what are you thinking? Because what you're thinking will determine who you are and what you do. For with the heart man believeth, and then what's in your heart is what's going to come out your mouth. Right? Okay. It's a law of sin and death. It's a law of spirit and life. In the Old Testament, Moses was the mediator. In the New Testament, of course, Jesus Christ is the mediator. Okay. Now I'm going to start again. Up the mountain. Up means where he went. Up is where the king sits. He's seated in the heavenlies, right? Where are you seated? It's where we're supposed to be seated. I can tell where you're seated by what you say with your mouth. Be careful when you talk around me, because you tell me an awful lot. Okay? Are you speaking earthy? That's where you're seated. Are you speaking heavenly things? That's where you're seated. Okay? It's where we have been made to sit positionally, but not yet all has been made manifest. Now, I'm ashamed to say that if you follow me around, probably for 5 minutes, I hope it's longer than that maybe occasionally I'm not seated in the heavenlies. But we need to endeavor to have the manifestation of always being seated in the heavenlies, okay? Set means to be a teacher. It means to appoint, to confer. It means to set in office. If I didn't believe I was set in the office as a teacher, I wouldn't be here. Because my flesh doesn't like anything to do with being up front of you teaching you. But my spirit man, when I get up here and start, just loves it. But when I'm sitting down there, I think, oh God, I wish this was over. Okay, and then verse 2. His disciples came unto him in verse 1. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, he opened his mouth. Open means to unveil. When I open my mouth, I'm hoping to unveil the Christ nature that is in the Word of God. It's what I'm here for. I'm not here to reveal me. I'm here to reveal him to you so you can become like him. Now, a husbandman must be first partaker of the fruit. I never, ever desire to teach anything that I have not partaken of. And that's happening too much in the pulpits. They don't even understand what they're saying. I would rather sit down. You see, the Bible says, I'm accountable for your souls what I teach you. Okay? I'm accountable for your souls as to what I teach you. And I'm going to give account one day for everything I've spoken to you. I'm very careful what I speak to you. He opened his mouth. Mouth means sharper. It's as the edge of a sword. Okay? It also means, the mouth means to keep teaching. And you find that happens to me. Once I start, it's hard to stop. Okay? Now let's go into these. The first one is blessed. Blessed. Let me tell you what blessed means. It means to be happy, joyful. It speaks of spiritual happiness. It means to be rich. If you're blessed, you're rich. I don't mean money. What does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? Your soul. The most precious property you have is your soul. It also means to be holy. If you're blessed, you're holy. Everybody says you can't be holy. Yeah, I can. I'm blessed. It's His holiness that I'm blessed with. Okay? The Bible say, be ye holy as I am holy. God's not a man that he can lie. Okay? Blessed are the poor. Now, here's who the poor are. You must see your need. Now, I'll tell you what keeps you from seeing your need is the tradition of man and the commandments of the fathers that tell us we're okay when we're not okay. Turn with me to Revelation. I'm going to show you the people like that. And it's the church. In the seven churches of Revelation, Jesus talked to them. And I believe it's in about chapter 3 and verse 17. And here's what they've said. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. If you have need of nothing, you're not poor in spirit, and that's exactly what you'll get. Nothing from God, okay? Have need of nothing and knowest not that thou art. Here's what we are. We're wretched, we're miserable, we're poor, we're blind, and we're naked. Poor, blessed are the poor means to be, to have spiritual happiness. If you're poor, you're spiritually happy. And if you're spiritually happy, it doesn't matter about anything else. God will supply your needs. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging bread. Okay? They might not have a lot, but He'll feed you and He'll clothe you. If you're not being fed and clothed, you need to sew up the hole in your pocket I talked about last night. Okay? We must recognize we have a need until we see Him as He is. If you don't see Him as He is, you have a great need. And I'm just going to confess to you, I don't still see Him as He is. Because the Bible says, when I see Him as He is, I will be like Him. And so we should always be a needful people of Jesus Christ. Okay? We need to be able to see Him eye to eye. Turn to Isaiah 52:8. Are we okay? Okay. Isaiah 52, verse 8. Today I'm this watchman standing on a tower. Okay, a pulpit speaks of a tower. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice. With the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion, which is the kingdom of God. It's the Mount Zion. It's a type of heaven. It's a type of the kingdom of God, okay? To see eye to eye seems you must be the same height. You bring a little child up here. I've got to get down here to see eye to eye to him. You know, Jesus is tall. He's in the heavenlies. And so we got to see eye to eye. We've got to arise, come away with me, He keeps saying to us, okay? It means the same maturity level. Poor means poverty, empty, need, help. It means to be a beggar, asking alms, destitute of virtue. Do we recognize our need of Him, His Word, always needing more of Him? If you're not hungry, you have not become poor in what?
Spirit.
Spirit. The word spirit means pneuma. It means breath. It means to blow. It means to breathe. It has to do with the refreshing of the Holy Ghost within you. Now listen, something happens to the poor in spirit, right? For what? Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, that just means that it's available to you. If you're poor of spirit, then God makes His kingdom available to you. Now let's go on to the next one. Blessed are they that mourn. Mourn means to repent. To recognize, it really means to recognize the blackness within you. Okay? Most of us think we're pretty white. There's blackness within all of us. You know how I know there's blackness within you? You don't have the change yet. Okay? You have not been changed yet. Have any of you here been transformed? I know you're all being transformed. Any here in the perfect likeness of Jesus Christ. See, so that's what I'm talking about. Then there's blackness. How many know He's light?
Amen.
How many know when we become all clear, all light with no blackness, we get a new body. When your eye is single, your whole body is going to be full of light, it says in Matthew. That means when your eye is clear, it says, I believe it says in Matthew. Clear means to be single. How many know we're double-eyed? We have a mixture within us. It also means to weep, lament, and bewail. Without a recognized need, if you can't recognize you're poor in spirit, if you have no need, you will never mourn. You'll never repent. Remember what repent means? Change. Our brother spoke about change after change after change. You know, tradition says you go to the altar and repent and you're okay. I tell you, you better go to the altar every day, every hour. You better go to the altar every time you make a mistake and stay there. That's absolutely right. We need to stay on the altar, right? You say, oh, you're being tough and making it hard. No. See, once you get on the altar, if you don't get off, you recognize that as normal, okay? Okay. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be what? Comforted. Comforted means exhorted, to be called for. It means to be called by the gospel. You know what the gospel calls to you? You're called, this is in Thessalonians, you're called by the gospel to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what your calling is. Anybody says to me, what's your calling? I says, God's glory. And they look at you like you're stupid, you know? But that's what I'm called to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm chosen by sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth.
Yes.
Every time you believe something in the Bible, it sanctifies you. And you get a little more of His glory within you. Okay? Listen, this is good news. I'm not preaching doom and gloom. Amen. Now the flesh, your flesh won't like what I teach you. But the Spirit man just, oh, good, good, yes. Good. The flesh saying, oh, don't believe what he's saying. Yes. Wake up, flesh. It means to become, comforted means to become more needy. Repentance. Now, see, the next thing we're going to see that you're poor. You recognize you have a need. You repent. Repentance is going to bring humility to you. And it really is going to bring the kingdom of God in upon you so much you won't be able to stand it. It's what's going to happen. It means to summon, to speak to instruct, to admonish, encourage, strengthen, teach. That's what comfort means. I'm comforting you today. Okay? Let's go to the next one. Blessed are the meek. Remember what blessed means? Happy, joyful. Okay? Blessed are the meek. Meek means to be humble, mild, gentle. It's like a tamed horse. Okay? Those who wholly rely on God's power rather than on their own strength to defend them against injustice. It means you never want to get even because you're never offended. Great peace have they who love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Anything offend you? Better get into the Beatitudes. Okay? Better get into the Beatitudes. Somebody comes up and smacks you in the face. Are you offended? I confess. I would be offended. You want to check somebody's Christianity before you do that. Okay? Well, what did Jesus do? What did Jesus tell you to do? Turn the other cheek. Oh. God, that's... Boy, that hurt any man's flesh. Let me know, flesh will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Amen.
If you're a flesh man, you can't get it in there. Okay. If you defend yourself, you are not blessed with meekness. You know why? Because God's going to defend you. It, meekness toward evil people means knowing God is permitting the injuries they inflict to purify you, His elect, and will deliver His elect in His season. Turn with me to Luke 18. And He spake a parable unto them to this end, verse 1, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city when she came to him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. That's the church, okay? And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? If you're always continually avenging yourself, you are lacking in faith. That's what that's saying. We know without faith it's impossible to please Him. And if you can't please Him, you're not going to be a friend of God. And if you're not a friend of God, you'll never be able to ask a people for their hand in the marriage to the Father. Right? It's pretty deep, folks. Okay? Gentleness or meekness is opposite to self assertiveness and self-interest. Turn with me to Romans 12:10. I'm just going to read this and ask you a question. Every time I ask you a question, I'm asking myself the same question. I'm not picking on you. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love in honor, preferring one another. Do we always do that? I'll answer, no. Blessed are the meek, for they shall do what? Inherit the earth. Now, this is interesting. Because everybody thinks, well, I'm going to get a plot of ground out here, you know. I mean, no, this is spiritual. The Bible's a spiritual book. It's not a natural book. Natural man can't understand the things of God. To inherit the earth means to possess. It means to take a wife. Okay? Now, I'm not going into this very deep. The soul is feminine. The spirit is masculine. The Spirit of God within you wants to take you to be His wife, which is the soulishness of man. He wants your soul to become one with His spirit. And when your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, and your desires. I always have three of them, but never can get that last one. Your soul is your mind, your will, your emotions, and your desires. You see, what did Jesus say? Father, not my will. First He said, if there be any way possible, let this cup. He didn't even like it. A lot of things that word tells me to do, I don't like. Okay? If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but what? The will of the Word, the will of the Spirit in the book, be done in me. Okay? Right. To take a wife, the two becoming one, spirit and soul becoming one. Turn to me, 1 Thessalonians 4:4. Inherit the earth means to possess. Listen to this. I'm sorry, verse 3. Well, this is all good. Verse 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. Now, I know there is a natural fornication, but if you have another God before Him, it's an adulterous and a fornicating situation. He wants to be first in your life in everything. He wants you to give up anything to be close to Him. Do we understand that? Okay. Verse 4, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel. Possess his vessel also means to take a wife. Some of your Bibles probably say that. My footnote does, okay? In sanctification and honor. Now, possess his vessel. What's your vessel? It's the temple of the Holy Ghost. It's your body. You've got to know how to possess your body. You know, God is not coming to dwell in a temple where they're selling and exchanging and fornicating and adultering and that sort of thing. He's coming to a pure, we're to be a holy, pure people. Okay? Now listen, if the Spirit marries the soul, remember I said that? If the Spirit marries the soul, the body automatically becomes married to the Spirit. If the soul is married to the Spirit, the body has to be married to the Spirit. Because your body only can do what the soul or the Spirit says. Okay? Are you with me? See, if we can just learn to be led by the Spirit, God's going to change our vile bodies. Okay. They shall inherit the earth. Okay, now notice that. Poor, needy. You got to recognize it. You mourn, you repent, it brings about change. The change causes meekness to come into you, cause humility to come. Okay? Then guess what happens next? Matthew. Lost Matthew. Yeah, I know. I love it. I love people that are. I love you. I just tell you, I'm so glad to be here. I'm really so glad to be here. Because, see, I like hungry people. You know? Hungry people. People that just do almost anything to hear the Word. You're a blessing to me. See, if you weren't here, I couldn't be teaching. Right? Okay. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Okay? Hunger means needy again. It means with eager desire. It means to crave. You crave the revelation of the Word. See, I'm not talking so much about the Word as I'm talking about recognizing and seeing Jesus Christ. Oh, Paul, I want to see Him. And see Him in the power of His resurrection. That's what I want to see. It means to suffer want. It means to stay poor. So many people get a little word in them, get puffed up, and they're no longer poor. The truth is, if God reveals Himself to you, you feel kind of like an idiot most of the time because you don't understand the Word, because the Word's so big and there's so much in it. And the more you know, the more you know you don't know. Really, really. Because, see, God is light. Light travels at 186,000 miles per second. So He's ever expanding. And our natural-minded geniuses are still finding constellations and planets and stuff they didn't know was there. And the Bible will tell you He's continually expanding. Hunger and thirst. Now listen, He wants you to stay poor. Now I tell you, the world tells you to get rich. God tells you to stay poor. Needy. Always need Him, right? He tells you to lower yourself, and the world tells you to elevate yourself. Because if you lower yourself, He'll elevate you, right? Thirst means to be a cupbearer. Now listen, the cupbearer. Jesus took the cup in Gethsemane, and He drank it on Calvary. Okay? What did He tell you? Pick up your cross and follow Me. Some of you get that, some of you don't. Do we take the cup but refuse to drink? Tough getting on that cross. You get on that cross, somebody will pull your beard and spit on you when you die to self. Thirst means to painfully feel want, eagerly long for things by which the soul is refreshed and strengthened. Thirst. You want the soul. First night I preached, Brother Glenn and so many people, even over at the house, said, "Oh, I just feel refreshed." You know what that was? That's a Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost that refreshes you. Every Wednesday evening, we go from house to house on Wednesday evening at our fellowship. I work Wednesday and got a newspaper to deliver, and I come home and get ready to go, and I just tired and don't want to go. And every time I come back, I want to stay up. I feel refreshed. Okay, you hunger and thirst after righteousness. Righteousness means virtue, purity of life, correctness, justice. It just means doing right according to God's word. It's what righteousness is, doing right. It's simple. You just got to know what the word says you can do and can't do. And folks, if you know what the word says and you don't do it, the kingdom of God is not in you in that area of your life. You're standing outside looking into the kingdom of God. All you can do is see the kingdom. Okay. And if you hunger and thirst after, what happens to you? You're going to be filled. He promises those that hunger and thirst that He'll fill you. You say, "Well, the Bible's kind of a dead work to me when I open the book." And have you ever been there? Jesus right here is telling you what to do. Recognize you have a need. And if you recognize you have a need, He has promised you that He'll fill it. And when you sit down to study and you don't understand anything, just challenge God. "God, You said You'd show this to me. You said You'd explain the Word to me. I don't see and understand what this is saying. Just show it to me." And watch what happens. Now, I've still got areas that I'm asking Him about. Sometimes He's pretty slow to answer, but He'll always answer. He'll always expand His kingdom within you. "For they shall be filled" means to become fat. Now, this is a good fat. Pull in my stomach when I say that. Okay? This is a good fat. Fat means you're full of marrow. You're growing in Him. Okay? "Become fruitful" or "full of fruit." Now, what's the purpose of you becoming full? So you can just keep it, right? Hoard it? Now, listen. Right about here, we're going to start giving out now. Okay, you've taken in that this is the nature of Christ, what we've just covered. He was poor in spirit. He mourned. Then what did He do next? He was meek, meekest man ever read about. Okay? But He hungered and thirsted after righteousness because He wanted to do the Father's will. Now Matthew 5, 3 through 6 have been receiving the life and nature of Jesus Christ. Now, Matthew 7 through 9, we're going to see that it is releasing His life and nature from in you out to others. Okay, let's go to the next one. "Blessed are the merciful," full of mercy. It means actively compassionate. Actively. It's like you seek people that you can show mercy to. Folks, there's enough people to show mercy to. You don't have to look very far. Just a needy. The church is a needy people. It means to help one afflicted or seeking aid. It also means not inflicting punishment. If someone's done something wrong, you don't punish them. I don't punish anyone. Now, the Word might. Okay? Remember, Jesus is the Word. Jesus is a rock of offense and a stone of stumbling. Why? Because He's got standards. And sometimes His standards offend us. And they cause us to stumble. But He just spank you and pick you up and tell you, "Okay, son, go on. Let's do it right this time." It also, merciful means to give forgiveness, clemency, love, grace. Now, why should you do this? It tells you right next. If you're merciful, for they shall what? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain... Y'all need mercy? Lord, I need mercy. Okay? This is called reaping what you sow. How do you know you do? Okay? You reap what you sow. The next one. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart. This means to be like a vine cleansed by pruning. You want to be pure in heart? God's going to take His clippers to you. Okay? Now, how many know that the parts He cuts off are living parts? Or there's life very close to them? Really, what He wants to remove is the dead stuff. How many know that a tree, if you want a tree really full, you prune it all over, brings forth more fruit. Okay? Makes you prettier, too. It means to be made fit for fruit. It means to be clean, blameless, unstained. It means to wash in blood. To wash in blood. Now, how many of you are washed in the blood? What does that really mean? Now, I know none of you had blood poured over you, right? I know that. What does it mean to be washed in the blood? Whenever you allow the Word to have dominance in your life, you're being washed by His blood.
Amen.
When you insist on your own rigid will, you're not being washed by the blood.
Amen.
It means to be free from corrupt desires. Turn to me to 1 Peter 1:22. Let's look at a couple scriptures here and we'll go on. 1 Peter 1:22. Seeing ye have purified your what?
Souls.
That's, you got to purify your mind. The soul speaks of the mind. Purify your mind. Romans 12, verse 2 says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Scripture says, you have the mind of Christ. How many know you have the mind of Christ? It says, let this mind be in me, be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Has to do with your will. Are you going to allow His mind to be in you, or are you going to insist on your own? Right? Turn with me to 1 John 3:14. Now, and this is how you can tell whether people have passed from death unto life. Okay? From death unto life. 1 John 3:14. Y'all beat me there, I can tell. Everything's quiet out there. So I go away to talk and you guys find it. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. If I find somebody that doesn't love me, I know what's wrong with him. He's dead. It's true. It's true. Even if he don't like me, he's got to love me. Right? Okay, what else it says? He that loveth not his brother abideth in what?
Yeah.
Boy, that ought to change a lot of people. Okay? Okay. Now, prune. Here's what the word prune means, okay? Listen, good news. You only have to be pruned for 6 years. I'm going to show you that. How many know we're coming to the end of the sixth year? Okay? Well, sixth day, 6,000th year, however you want to, you know. Prune means to sing, to praise. It means the psalms. It means music. It means to tremble, to shiver, to shake, to bristle. It also means whiteness. It means to be white as snow. The word whiteness means, the word is Lebanon. And it means to be white, it means transformation. Pruning will bring about transformation. It'll bring whiteness, cleanliness, godliness in your life. See, the gospel is really simple once you understand it. I mean, the difficulty is walking it out in your life. But understanding it is simple. Turn with me to Leviticus 25. Leviticus 25. Verse 3. 6 years thou shalt sow thy field, and 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyard and gather in the fruit thereof, but in the seventh year shall be a what? Now listen. If you don't prune what's there the 6 years, Sabbath doesn't make any difference. Okay? Won't be any fruit anyway. You know, it's speaking about after. What that's talking about is 6,000 years from creation. From creation to Adam was 4,000. From creation to Christ was 4,000 years. From Christ to now is about 2,000 years. We're at the end of the sixth day, right? Remember, at the end of the sixth day in Genesis, what happened in the earth? There was a perfect man in the earth. That's a type and shadow of what's going to happen spiritually. I believe with all my heart. And I think we're so close that it would cause many of us to fall on our face and stay there till it happened. Where am I? I keep losing Matthew. Matthew, okay, Matthew 5. Blessed are the pure in heart. Why? What happens to them? They're going to see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. This means He will appear. It means to show oneself. It means to behold. If your heart is pure, you're going to see Him as He is. And when you see Him as He is, you'll be like Him. It's like coming to the seventh day, the millennial, the day of rest. Next one, verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers. Peacemakers means to be a promoter of peace. Everywhere you go, what do you promote? Now listen, if you're not promoting peace, you're probably bringing discord. Promoters of peace. Peacemakers. Everywhere you go, you need to be making peace. With your brothers and your sisters. With those that won't receive you. With those that are offended by your mouth, what you say. They're offended by your doctrine. And most your relatives are offended by what you believe, if you believe anything. It's true. It's absolutely true. If you believe the truth, why was Jesus killed? For what? He's killed by religious people. He's killed by the church. For what He believed and who He said He was. What do you believe? Who are you? Are you like Him? Then you'll be persecuted like He was. If you're not being persecuted, you're not telling anybody what you really believe, or you don't believe what you ought to believe. Now, that's truth. Okay. It means maintainers of peace. That doesn't mean you make war with anybody. Doesn't mean you shove this gospel down anybody's throat. You see, Jesus won the world by love. And He's going to continue to win the world by love. Now listen, blessed are the peacemakers. Why? I'm just going to use one word. For they shall be called. Called. They're just called. This word called means to give a name to. Huh? Okay. God calls you. He's going to give you a name. How many know you're going to be given a new name? It's going to be in a white stone. You got to be a peacemaker before you'll ever get a new name. Everybody here want a new name? Go make peace. Okay? To give a name, to receive the name of, to bear a name or a title. Now, and then it tells you what the name is. The name is, there shall be called children of God. Children means a son of God. It means the word is weos. It means a firstborn son. Firstborn son. Well, I thought Jesus was the firstborn son. He is. But I'm going to grow up into Him in all things who is the head. And if I'm in Him, then I become the firstborn son. And I'm going to be the first fruits from the earth. And listen, I was telling somebody, I don't think I taught it. People are concerned about the harvest of the earth, whether it's the rapture or whether it's, I don't care what you call it. My Bible teaches three harvests of the earth. It teaches the first fruits harvest of the earth. And you can go to the book of Ruth. You can go into Revelation 12. It teaches the first fruits of the earth, the harvest of the earth, the major harvest. And it teaches the gleanings of the harvest. And they're there. Now, I can't give you a timetable. I don't know. God's the time maker, okay? It's those, now listen, the firstborn son is those who in character and life resemble God. Character and life resemble God. Okay, now, remember verses 3 through 6, receiving his life, 7 through 9, 9 is releasing or dispensing his life. Now, we're going to start with 10. This is the 10 through 12 is the resulting conflict between light and darkness within the kingdom. Okay? You've received his life, you're dispensing his life, and there, wherever this happens, there is always a conflict between light and dark. And it'll either be within you or somebody you're talking to. Now see, this will help you when you minister to people. Most of the time, when I preach, they don't argue with me, okay? But when I go to visit with people, why? You're facing traditional demons that people don't even know they got.
Amen. Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And listen, don't turn them off. Let them talk.
Yeah.
And you just love them. And see, the Holy Spirit is the only one that can reveal Jesus Christ to anyone. You can't do it. Now, you can share the gospel, and then hopefully they'll get hungry and look into the gospel and say, hey, I remember somebody told me about this. I don't know who it was. It doesn't matter who told you. The only thing that matters is that you received it, right? One plants, another waters.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Okay. Verse 10. Blessed are they, oh, listen to this, which are persecuted. You all like this, don't you? Persecuted means to suffer, to follow after. Persecution means to press. See, persecution and tribulation, the real word is pressure. How many know the kingdom of God is a pressure cooker? In the Bible, it's called a wine press. And God wants you in the wine press, and He just wants to squeeze all the ugly stuff out of us. Okay? Okay? What'd Paul say? I press towards the mark for the prize of what? Now listen, if there's a high calling, there must be a low calling too. And it's called the three salvations, whether it's common, great, or eternal. I'm seeking the eternal salvation of my soul. I'm pressing for the mark.
Amen.
If you're not going to run to win, why run? Right? Oh, I'm just there for the fellowship. Well, I like fellowship, but that's not what I'm there for. It's as running a race swiftly to reach the goal. It means to earnestly devour or eat. You and I need to earnestly devour and eat this word by the Spirit. Okay? Persecuted, and you're persecuted for righteousness' sake. I could go into Matthew 13 and into Luke, Mark, about the parable of the sower. For righteousness' sake, that's that which is just, right, meet, virtuous, keeping God's commandments, okay? For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. If you're persecuted, the kingdom will come to you. If you're not, it won't. Because you're not standing up for what God told you to stand up for. Okay? And if you stand up for what the truth is, I'll guarantee you, you'll be persecuted. You don't have to look for persecution, folks. And I'm telling you, it's coming from the highest office in the land on down now. The kingdom of God, it means the extension of God's rule or dominion in the earth. Okay? What that means, remember, you're the earth. Persecution will cause you to allow Him to rule because it depends on what are you going to do when you're persecuted? Are you going to avenge the wounds they inflict on you? Or are you going to let God do it? It'll cause you to grow. The kingdom of God grows in you through persecution, through trials, through testings, through tribulations. If you retaliate, the kingdom of God isn't in you. The area over which the king rules will determine the size of God's kingdom in us. You got a little kingdom or you got a big kingdom? Now, I can tell you the size of the king that's in you. I don't know what size of the kingdom you've allowed him to rule in. That you determine that, okay? Remember, it's a divine government. Okay, verse 11. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you. Here's persecution again. When men, it just speaks of the human race. With the notion, now listen, when they revile you, this revile means notion of contempt. They find you contemptible. Okay? How many know that the nation is finding Christians contemptible now, more and more? It's disdainful, disdainful pity. Revile means to upbraid, to reproach, to cast in one's teeth. It has to do with the things of God that people don't want to hear, okay? They will persecute you. Any way to harass, trouble, or molest you, to mistreat. And they say all manner of evil, that is that which is morally injurious to you, to Christians. Wrongly called. A couple of scriptures. Turn to me to 1 Peter 2, verse 12. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Those that are, that revile you someday, they'll look upon you and say, oh, what you said was so good when God visits them. Now listen, there is a people, it's called the first fruits of the nation, it's called the overcomer, that the nations are going to come at your feet to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what God's trying to prepare a people for. Amen. That really have understanding, spiritual revelation of the Word of God. And the darker it gets, the sooner they're going to come. Remember the day of the Lord in Joel 2? It's a day of gross darkness. And it's going to cover the earth. Okay? Now, don't get upset with that. Because the darker it gets to others, it's a new day dawning on the horizon. And that's absolutely right. And the dark, those that are in darkness are going to be crying for light. It's going to get so dark. Okay. Say, well, all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Verse 12, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Are you all happy when they do that? Well, normally not at the moment. But, you know, once you start thinking about it, oh, God, they just need you. That's all that's wrong with them, right? Mm-hmm. Rejoice and be glad for great. Great means many, much, and large. Is your reward. I just want to touch reward for about 3 or 4 minutes. I'm going to be done. Reward means the fruit resulting from toils and endeavors. Turn with me to 2 John, and there's only one chapter, verse 8. 2 John 8. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought. It means those things we have labored for and worked for. I mean, no. That salvation is a work. Okay? I mean, it's building a house. I mean, you're building the house. He's supplying what you build it out of. And you're building the house for Him. And he's got a blueprint that you must follow to build Him a house for Him to come and reside in it. And you've got to build it exactly as the pattern or the blueprint if He's going to come and reside in there fully. Okay. Which we have worked for, but that we receive, now listen to this, what kind of reward? Full reward. This full means the surface covered in every part. It speaks of the soul, thoroughly permeated by the Spirit. Okay? It's complete, lacking nothing, perfect, and then it'll be in heaven. And when that happens, His will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Is that what you're all looking for?
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Father, I just thank You for Your Word. Father, we've seen Your kingdom. And Father, now by Your Spirit, I just ask You to lead us into it. Father, into the fullness of it. For Father, we desire a full reward. That is, we desire that You cover and permeate every speck within us. In our mind, in our emotions, in our desires, in our will. Father, just mold us and melt us and make us into Your image. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.